Zombies, yeah.
I'm
thinking are in the headlines all the time these days. I don't know what's going on with zombies.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's very noticeable.
Yeah. Well, you need to deconstruct the whole zombie thing. I mean, you know, zombie is an actual thing. It comes from Haiti, part of a religious belief. You know, if you believe in voodoo, that this you can actually animate the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you start with that point, and then now you know. I was just telling somebody the other day, oh, no, I was watching Abraham Lincoln versus the zombies. They made a film of it. But the book that came up in discussion because of that film was Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I don't know if you've heard
right.
of that book. But it did very well. It's doing very well. And just that the, the incorporation of the zombie into the zeitgeist. And you don't often get to alliterate with the letter Z, by the way. But the zombie zeitgeist has been, I don't know, maybe it's the role that the archetype plays for voodoo, for example, that is of a possessed body, somebody whose will is no longer their own, and they're sort of just going through the motions of life. Maybe it resonates with a modern audience, this idea that you're soulless, you know, that you, well, I don't know. It's been embellished, obviously, with the brains eating. I don't think that was a voodoo thing. That's kind of a Night of the Living Dead thing.
Well, that came up with Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, right. The whole brains. And then it took a kind of campy note. You know, the camp, send more cops, you know, send more brains. All that
stuff. Was a good movie. That was Return of the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good one. The original one was good. Too, but it was more like slow, creepy guy, and I'll just eat your flesh.
That was genuine scary.
Yeah, that was really scary. And that was also a great portrayal of a young black man. I don't know if you remember the film, but it doesn't really refer to his race at all in a way. It was like a true picture of like colorblind casting, or you know, like where somebody is just playing a guy, and it doesn't matter if he's black. But the actor played him with such dignity and, well, you know, the kind of things that, you know, you'd say about Sidney Poitier at the time, that, oh, here's a guy who's so dignified as if, you know, those are jewel in the rough.
Yeah, and so that tells us something about the whole movie, too. I mean, it tells us that it's made by somebody who's progressive and who has, well, I mean,
yeah.
I don't even know if progressive is too, it's all, that word has already been sort of.
Well, no, it isn't. I mean, de facto progressive. I mean, there are very few instances where, A, a black guy carried the movie, and B, he was presented in a positive note,
right.
And C, his race almost doesn't matter. Like, it was, you know,
right.
It had no significance.
Which had to have been, you know, a very conscious decision. I mean, it's not like you just, you know, it's not like he just didn't think, the director didn't think about it. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. What's his name?
Maybe not.
George, huh?
No, wasn't that Romero?
Know. Yeah, it was Romero. And from what I remember from interviews with him, he did sound like a pretty, like, modern guy and no bullshit, you know. But I don't know what his particular views were for casting that actor, that guy, for that show.
I wonder if there's any interviews.
Yeah, that would be a neat thing to listen to, some George Romero interviews.
Okay, when he introduced the idea of eating brains to the zombie myth.
Which are we agreeing is probably around Return of, Return of the Night of the Living Dead or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Was it not in the original?
I don't think they ate brains. I think they were just like slow walking, arms out, crashing through boarded up windows, trying to get you and eat your face, you know, eat your body.
Mm.
But I don't think it was like they loved brains, you know, per se. I think that...
Well, whenever the brains eating comes,
yeah,
that's an example of something, you know, okay, the interesting thing about our times is that unlike in the pre-literate days when you didn't know where contributions to the culture came from, we can actually say when this started. But it was taken up and adopted by the culture, just like crucifixes for vampires and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And
yeah.
And so that means the people... Hmm?
Became part of the lore, part of the folklore.
Which means that we recognized that it made sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't. I mean, garlic doesn't make sense to us anymore, though. That's the thing. It kind of falls in and out. Our sensibilities are slightly
right,
different.
Right.
You know, the cross, the crucifix, I get. The holy water, all that stuff, I get. Sunlight, I'm not too sure, but I think I can work with that one. The garlic, I have absolutely no connection to that. There must have been something about garlic way back in the day that resonated with that audience.
Right.
I don't know.
That doesn't anymore.
Pungency?
A what?
I mean,
pungency,
if you do a basic analysis or some Freudian or psychoanalysis of it, it must be that there's something really good about garlic. And there's something really
You should have
garlic in your house for some reason. You should, you know, keep garlic around. The idea being maybe that, you know, like in that one documentary, garlic is as good as 10 mothers about the Gilroy festival. Maybe there's something really hearty and healthy about garlic that somehow that Romanians at the time needed to learn. Or Transylvanians, whoever they are.
Yeah, I mean, definitely those people were, I think, very garlic-centric. So that and Christianity, it makes sense that those would be the things that would fight evil. And then that we would have dropped that but kept the Christianity because we're still a Christian society. I don't know if vampires have been deconstructed.
Well, the vampire bat is the only animal that really does what a vampire is said to do. And that is, aside from the, you know, mythical chupacabra, actually that eats the whole, it sucks the whole goat. It's the one animal that with its two teeth, you know, will go up to mammals and suck their blood in order to survive. So that's a South American thing. I don't know how it got over to, you know, Europe.
I theorized that that zombies represent like consumers.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat brains because they want to have actual thoughts, but they don't know how to have their own. So when they see, but you can't get thoughts by eating somebody else's brain, so it doesn't solve their problem at all. They just have to keep consuming, and they're never full.
That's true. They, I mean, they never stop. It's an insatiable desire to eat brains. Let me just throw this out there. Funny, the only way to really kill a zombie is to blow his head off.
Does that mean?
I don't know, but obviously there's some connection with this, the head.
Yeah, there's something about brains going on. And when did that start? Was that in the original Night of the Living Dead?
I don't know. Was he able to you know, take out zombies by blowing their heads off? I can't remember if that was in the original. But at some point, I don't know when that came up. That'd be an interesting one to figure out.
I remember one scene from, I guess it was Return of the Night of the Living Dead. Or is it Return of the Living Dead?
Return of the Living Dead.
Where there was just like, it was like a head and a spinal cord. Oh, it might have been arms. It might have had arms. But, I mean, it really, it was all about central nervous system.
Well, you know, I think there are in some schools of zombie thought that no matter what you do, the thing is going to be animated. You almost have to, like, burn it or something. Like, you can chop the head off, but it'll keep talking, or the body will keep trying to walk. But there are those that think that you can definitely terminate the animation of a zombie. You know, to be honest, I'm not a fan of zombies. I'm not a fan of the genre. I don't watch The Walking Dead. I don't really go to see those zombie movies. I think, in fact, Return of the Zombie Living Dead was probably the last time I sat through a whole zombie film. Except, I did watch significant portions of Shaun of the Dead. Oh, that's where Dawn of the Dead is one, too, right? But I did watch Shaun of the Dead, and I only watched that more for its comic value, despite its zombie motif, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about zombies is totally uninteresting to me. Although, you know what we saw in, that was vampires. I'm sorry, that was Lincoln and vampires. That was not zombies. Because the vampires, they have agency, you know. They have societies and histories and, you know, political aims and stuff like that. They really do have, sort of, an agenda. The zombies, it's like, you just got to run away from them, you know? It's like, you got to keep running and it's your face. And
I find it really I find it really fascinating, if only for the fact that they are taking off. And some people might say that, like, the corporations are deciding, like, I know somebody, my other friend Steve, who said that corporations have decided to make zombies popular. But I don't believe that. I think that it has resonated with people. And I'm just curious, like, why? Why now? And, you know, like with anything, you know, I mean, kids have a new hot toy every couple years, you know.
Right.
And I think that says something, but when adults have something, yeah.
But have we had enough of a period of study to know that it's not just a fad of some sort? Like, you know, after 10 years, nobody will really care about zombies anymore, 5 years.
No, I think it might be a fad, but I mean, even if it's just a fad, what a strange fad.
Yeah. Isn't there like a training you can go to for zombie apocalypse or something like that? I think reading that years ago. And that was seen as some kind of, cultural marking point where zombies have become, or like zombie crossings. Somebody put up a street sign that said zombie crossing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go back to, as you say, going back to my earlier point, which is your point, is that, you know, this idea of a will-less corpse somehow may be resonating in today's audience, a larger audience, where, you know, people do go to work they're commuting or their work sucks and they feel like zombies. Like, I remember having a shitty job 9 to 5 that you had to take the bus to early in the morning. And after, you know, a few months of that, you do feel like you're devoid of any joy, really, which is akin to being having no soul, you know, unless you can make that happen for yourself somehow.
Well, but isn't that the history of human beings on this planet, having to
slave? Not necessarily. I think modernity, you know, people argue, you know, if you look at those old Charlie Chaplin films, what was that one, Modern Times, where you see the machine actually physically consuming people. And robbing people, you know, you become a number and your individual character. I think around that time, you know, industrialization came around, but then modernity came, and it really the individual versus society and the machine at that point. And we just become a number in 1984, all that stuff.
So you're saying that this is something that is unique to industrial times?
Well, not just industrial times, but modernity, these ideas of metropolises, these giant places where the individual can get stepped up, and even the institutions are gigantic, you know, and run like systems and machines, and we have numbers, IDs, and social security numbers, and before that, you can have an industrial society like, early 1900s, where ritual was still part of the community, communities were smaller. Didn't have mass production. That really started around it started in the 1880s with Quaker Oats and all that stuff. But it didn't really pick up until 1920 or so. And that's when you start seeing these films, Charlie Chaplin and the guy hanging off the clock on the giant building. That's when, you know, towering this little guy on a big giant building. You don't see those prior to 1920. And the idea is, I think, the modern society has crushed the individual, and there's no more soul. You know, you clock in this giant, you remember those old 50s clock punchers, clocking in, clocking out. And so the ritual has become the corporations or the workplaces. You know, the individual no longer is part of this communal ritual that you used to do, you know, maypole dances or whatever it was, even, frog jumping contests or whatever it was back before, prior to modernization.
I want to get back to the subject of, I know I had some way of trying to wrap it up, of zombies because,
zombies.
What was it?
Would you watch Walking Dead?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know much about it. It looks cool. I just don't. I don't buy into the zombie thing, man. I can't tell. I don't know what it is. I just don't like. It grosses me out on some level. The eating the faces and the body parts falling off. So I take it to like I'm.
I got it now.
Yeah.
I got it. Here's my theory.
Yeah.
Or one theory. This kind of stuff that we're seeing on TV, people eating people's faces,
mm-hmm.
although, of course, you still can't see a naked breast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a whole other conversation. But the eating people's faces on TV and basically, you know, that being out there for our culture, I feel like maybe this is a sign of the ultimate democratization of our culture. Because this is like, you know, it used to be that culture was, well, certain kinds of culture, like
yeah, but
the kind of culture
yourself. you can't show a breast. How is that democratized? That seems
I don't know how that fits into
collective democratization. You know, violence is fine. You know,
here's what I was going to say.
Sell guns.
The what?
The NRA wants to sell guns. They want, you know, people to be armed. They want and violence is sort of has a different. Like worth in the commodity. You know what I mean? That's a different commodity. Whereas sex, I don't know. I don't think it's as strong as violence.
Well, okay. Here's the second part of my theory is that this could be sort of a way in which the real harshness of life
mm-hmm.
is being represented.
Okay.
The toughness of life.
Right, like the Brothers Grimm.
You know, like exactly, yeah, like the exactly. Like when people mm-hmm. were in charge of their own culture, they told stories in which all this mutilation was happening. You know, but at least in the Brothers Grimm tradition, they did not tell stories in which somebody took her top off and you could see her full breasts.
Well.
With nipples.
You're saying in the oral tradition, people didn't really comment on anatomy?
Yeah, they didn't say like, you know, and you could see her, you know, her labia. But
mm-hmm.
they did
yeah.
say like, but they
I,
did
oh,
say like.
Had a, you know, her vulva this or something like that.
What?
They would just use euphemisms for beauty or lust or something like that.
Yeah, they would use like metaphors or, yeah, but.
Mm-hmm.
But they did have graphic violence, you know, like
yeah.
they poked the in Cinderella. You know, the sisters cut their feet off to fit into the slipper. Or, at the end, crows poked their eyes out.
Right, right.
I mean, that's not any less gruesome than the Walking Dead.
Hansel and Gretel, like throwing people, you mentioned pies and throwing people in ovens and stuff, throwing
right.
people a lot. Crazy.
Right. We're getting back to the point where, like, the folk are sort of deciding what our culture is about. It's like folk culture in a way. It's like a mix between money and folk culture.
Well, I think the key word there is mix. You know, I don't think you have to strive
well,
to
yeah.
it yourself. I think if you're open about things that happen to come through and death, that's the thing. You know, that's an interesting, if you just come down to the basic thing about zombies, that they're dead. Dead, dead, dead. And we're alive, and they're trying to eat us. The dead people versus the living people. And most, I think you can boil down a lot of problems in life and fear that people have is basically a fear of death and their own mortality. You know, people not
mm-hmm.
prepared for the discussion or for the eventuality. And so there's a lot of things that...
Also, not just their, you know, the end of their body, but the end of their worldview, the end of their, of you know, the life.
Oh, well, yeah. If you're particularly vain, the feeling that your end of your influence on the world, I guess, or, you know, or the end of your
well, which
you,
just what
yeah.
we are just saying right in this moment makes me think, you know, America may be losing its empirehood. You know, and what if some of this is that You don't believe America is losing its vampirehood?
America is hotter than it's ever been.
Okay, okay. People, just to take what you're saying, I want to say two things. One is that regardless of, and I will get to whether our empire is declining, but regardless of whether it is or isn't, a lot of people are saying it is, and it's on the national, it's on the national collective unconscious as well as the conscious discussion. So, this just occurred to me while we were talking, maybe part of the reason that zombies are so popular is because we're looking at, post world supremacy status for the United States for the first time. And, the way we tell ourselves that story in terms of mythology or, popular mythology might be in the form of zombies. That's just a thought. But,
what is the difference between zombies before? How has Walking Dead contributed to the arc of the zombie story? I mean, have they added a new dynamic or a dimension? What is going on?
I don't know that they have or not, but I mean, I'm not looking at my main interest in it is how people are eating it up.
Mm-hmm. And is that the only example of zombieism being eaten up, or is there another kind of something you can point to that shows that the mainstream right now is sort of being taken by this idea of zombies and zombieism?
Well, we were just talking about some of them, like Abraham Lincoln, Shaun of the Dead. There's also World War Z. The zombie genre is a whole genre in video games. It's a whole genre.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole other angle I hadn't thought of. All those, shooting dead zombies coming at you.
And I think, we have to ask, why are we right now, what is it saying to our collective unconscious that we are responding so incredibly, positively to, if you can call that positively, if we're consuming it, so much. And I'm just coming up with possible explanations. One is that, the conservatives think that the end of the world is imminent, and they always have.
Right.
They've always thought, religious people, Christians, have always thought.
The end times and the rapture is near.
Well, the pilgrims thought we were living in the end times.
Right. You know what it is also, too? I mean, you know that if you're starting a film company or if you're trying to start a production company, the genre that you're supposed to make a lot of money first is a horror film, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could just be that the ascendancy of the whole horror genre has also lifted the zombie boat, you know what I mean? Like, it just happens that the whole genre has become more popular. And so
Why isn't it killer vegetables? Why isn't it...
Because he's scary about vegetables. To me, I hate vegetables.
Oh, okay, but it used to be like... It used to be like Godzilla. There used to be a ton of... Well, at least in Japan, Or like giant animals. It used to be... Okay, for a while in this country, it was dinosaurs.
Well, that's an interesting comparison. Japan... Because you could do a psychoanalysis of, Tokyo was always getting destroyed. Like, buildings knocked over. They had a complex where they just thought everything was just going to get stepped on and destroyed all the time by some monster coming out of the sea. So what is that? Right? What is that?
Have you noticed they're constantly destroying New York in movies?
Well, now, after 9/11, I think that was it.
Huh?
Nagasaki and Hiroshima were hearing events for the Japanese consciousness. And so after that, not only do you have the actual demonstration of mass destruction, but that's coupled with this weird guilt that they felt after, a guilt that they felt after World War II. This nonviolence, because they were so violent before, and almost like Tokyo deserved to be destroyed. Hence, Godzilla was never like a bad guy, Godzilla female, but it was never like Godzilla meant to harm Tokyo. There's always something about the people that they, you know, they deserve. There's, you know, there's some kind of quality where the radiation, that's what it was, by their own dumbass, you know, radiation poisoning, they created Godzilla, and he comes up and naturally destroys Tokyo. So
right.
That, I think, spoke to the anxieties and the guilt, that, you know, if you want to get Freudian, the guilt that the Japanese felt of their own, you know, place in the world. I don't know if you want to make the comparison.
Well,
the zombies, like you said, represent this mindless consumption, and people get it. But do they don't relate to the zombie. They relate to the people shooting the zombies. So maybe they want to get away. They want to flee. They want to find a safe place.
They might not relate to the zombies, but I think they think of other people as zombies. They relate to the experience of being in the world with others who seem somehow to be like zombies.
Right, and want to consume them, want to take their life force,
see,
and turn them into zombies. Isn't that
right.
How it works? You get the bin
well,
bag
and it's very
the one, right?
And what? Yeah, that's how it works. But it's a virus.
Uh-huh. Well, not always.
But,
in Return of the Dead, didn't they nuke a graveyard or something like that? Or they put nuclear waste in a graveyard, I think, and that's what happened.
Well, at the end of Return of the Living Dead, there was a nuclear explosion. And I don't know if it came from, like, at the beginning of the movie.
No. I know what it was. There was a toxic spill at a cemetery or maybe at a morgue, I don't know. And that animated certain corpses, and then it would spread like a virus once they started biting people. But I think they decided the solution was to nuke the whole area, not realizing that that would create mass zombieism.
Well, what happened, I think, I don't remember how it started, it was like some toxic chemical that created zombies. So it wasn't a virus in that movie. But at the end of the movie, when they did the nuclear explosion, like the rain came,
and then
it soaked the nuclear radiation into the ground. I don't actually know how it happened. But the difference between Godzilla and a zombie is very striking. I mean, Godzilla is clearly not human, never was, and you know, it's humans against the monster with Godzilla.
Right.
But now it's the individual against the collective.
Sure.
It's a swarm of zombies. It's a swarm of people.
Although, you know, the individuals never fight by themselves. They always band together and try to find a secure place or move together away.
Right.
Except that one, I Am Legend. He was by himself, but ultimately the narrative was about finding community.
No, but you're absolutely right. And in Walking Dead, the latest episodes have been about actually everything. It's all about how you keep a group of people together, and what kind of power structures they develop or you know leadership. Of it comes out of it, and lately they've been running into communities that are self-sustaining communities with either like a charismatic crazy leader or like an outlaw villainous leader, and you know there are all these questions that come up about how are you leading this group?
It sounds like it's sort of an exploration of potential or historic. Well, it can be historic post-apocalyptic, but you can have conditions where, you know, people were in dire conditions and one person took over in the various ways that human beings comported and conformed in those different situations. It can all be explored through The Walking Dead in these little vignettes. But that's a whole other thing that makes me think that this also has something to do with the post-apocalypse, not just zombies. It's that this whole society is broken down. Something has gone wrong. Because, you know, you can have zombies, but where's the National Guard? Let them take care of it. You know what I mean? Why is it that, I got to be running down the street? you also have to have that component to an effective zombie narrative these days. That is, that the whole society is broken down. There's nowhere to flee. You've got to, like, find your bit of real estate and protect it. And
it's like Godzilla was localized.
Yeah.
Like if you weren't in Tokyo, it wasn't a problem.
Right. And they had an air force, you know, get out of the way. They'll take care of it. Here it's like, you better, you know, get your... Now that I'm thinking, there's been so many influences on the current, like, it's been distilled, so many different elements. You have your Mad Max, and without that, you couldn't have the current Walking Dead, this sense of a post-apocalyptic, you know, get your shotgun, and you're in control, and find fuel, or find elements that will help you survive. You got that.
Well, these elements that were in Mad Max were taken from real life, too. I mean, there are people who just, I think that's a collective, that's one of the archetypes. You know, the archetypal images that people have is you go and you are on the land with your gun and your jeep and your, maybe you'd have a dog and you'd have a woman.
A crossbow.
You know?
And then you need gas.
Yeah. You just need enough gas. And then it comes out in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Walking Dead really is, I mean, zombies are the device, but the real thing that it is, it's an exploration of, like, groups and intentional living and like, how we get along, you know, when we have all these pressures that we, from coming from outside.
You've heard of these survivalists, right? This new thing about survivalism. That's like a thing.
What is it?
Survivalist? I mean, they have their own show now, too, right? Do these different communities that usually like the same, like a charismatic leader or a father figure, arming all of the kids and neighbors, and they're training for an apocalypse or end times or for race riot. Or I don't know what it is. But that's, I don't know if that's always been present, but that seems to be on the rise, too.
Well, I mean, you know, there was that show Survivor, too, which I made me think that and Lost. were before The Walking Dead, but it just was some device so that people would have to live in communities. And then there are all the real world things where you have to live in a house together.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's also an extra
rise of this idea that you have different people, you know, the real world as well. Different people, you put them in a stressful situation. Survivor changed it a bit where you had to have alliances. You know, you had to create and also be somewhat duplicitous sometimes in order for you to be number one.
These are non-family groups. It's like, what happens after the family, maybe? That's part of the thing they're really discussing. Like, in a world that's post-family, how do we get along?
Well, we do live in that world. That's the funny part. I mean, most families are not the atomic family from the 1950s. There's divorcees, there's stepfathers, nieces, grandparents raising children, gay people having adoptees, all kinds of different permutations of families that are way, way different than what the supposed normal family was thought to be. Walking Dead could just be some kind of reaffirmation of that, because I'm certain that you do sympathize with these people who are trying to survive, and that there's got to be good guys, and if they're like, you know, trying to help a black girl and a Chinese guy, and then you see that the bonds of family are obviously more than just genetic, you know.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, the show has, like, you know, the show deals with racism. It's got communities that have people of all races.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they try to, I don't think they've dealt with, homosexuality, and I think they're pretty, but they have dealt with, with female empowerment, I think.
Mm-hmm. Sure. They're Terminator types.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the kind of empowerment, you know, that a feminist would be happy with.
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor, yeah.
Yeah. She's a badass. She's the prototype.
Yeah.
She's the fucking female badass.
So I think that what we're looking at when we're looking at these zombie movies is, you know, you have a choice. You are either part of this anarchy, which is what zombies represent, in a way,
do zombies choose to be zombies?
No. I mean, I think that unconsciously the viewer is like, it's not a choice. I mean, it's not presented as a choice.
It's even a choice. It seems more like an anxiety, like something you don't. You're fleeing. You're running away.
Right.
From this. You don't want to happen to you.
But what I'm really looking for is, what's the message here? I mean, the message is, you know, you have to learn to get along with the people that you're trapped in this house with, you know, because outside is the kind of people that you really cannot get along with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people who can get along with each other, but then there's also people who are just there to eat your brain.
Right. Well, it's an external threat that causes you to have to be pragmatic and think about more than just yourself.
It's an external threat, it's not just the same as every external threat. It's a zombie, and that's what I'm, you know, I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm zombie, saying why now, why zombie?
Well, yeah, I think for all those reasons, you know, especially dispossessed body, sort of mindlessly consuming.
Especially the what?
Oh, well, what about the Borg? Remember the Borg?
Oh, the Borg, but they didn't take off. It's not like our culture. Our culture could be full of cyborgs right now.
They were like cyborg zombies, right?
They were, but that was like one show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they were like, well, maybe you're right. But they were very different from zombies.
Yeah, they didn't want to eat anybody, although they did want to take your body. I mean, they did want it to be, ultimately, to take your body and mutilate it. But that was for dominance, geopolitical dominance, which may be at the time, you know, the Russians, Chinese were, you know, they say like the Klingons represented the Russians back in the day, wanted to take over. No, go ahead.
But it just occurred to me for the first time, the word enterprise. In like, you know, a capitalist economy?
Yeah, sure. It does mean any kind of adventure or venture that you go on to. But America is that. It was kind of like, we're going to sail across this big thing and make an America. And then once we're here, we're going to try this thing out called democracy. And then we're going to do this crazy thing and try to separate ourselves from King, you know, it's just a constant enterprise over here. That's the next step of zombieism. Like, zombies cash it, like, they don't want brains, they want some bucks. It's zombie bling, you know what I mean?
Zombies. You mean like they're going to start, like, taking your money, zombies?
They're going to crave, accoutrement. Zombling. Mm-hmm.
That's good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, zombies with nice rings, and maybe specific body parts will, you know, give you status if you wear them. You know, if you have somebody's ear, would make you put that like on your lapel, and all of a sudden you're king of the zombies.
I don't know, man. I have thought about that. Like, what's the evolution of zombies going to be? Will there be a sentient zombie? Because I kept waiting for that to happen in Walking Dead. You know, wouldn't that be the next thing? You know, but why not? I don't know, but vampires have not really evolved. They have a little. They have a little.
Sure,
but
they have. I mean, did you see the Lincoln vampire one?
No.
I mean, they have, like, they're aligning themselves with certain politicians. You know what I mean? Or, you know, if you look at the, what's that series, the werewolf versus vampire thing? That's like societies and levels, and then you have, what's that other one, Blade? That was a whole thing where you have hybrids, and the whole thing is really...
Isn't that just, like, the vampire becoming more human? in a way, like more humanized.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you do that with a zombie?
Well, you do the same thing, but you have to give them consciousness, I guess. Which would upset the whole premise, I guess. Wait a minute, dude. I just saw a preview of a film or maybe a TV show or something where a girl is dating a zombie or...
What?
Yeah, like this...
There's a commercial. There's a commercial where a zombie tries to get insurance.
Right, there's that. I've seen that. And he's talking and he's like a zombie. He's trying to deny a zombie. But this one is actually a film, I think, about a guy who becomes a zombie, but he still kind of loves the girl. So he doesn't try to eat her brains, but, you know, he's working on becoming a better person. Like, seriously, I just saw a preview like this where this may be your next missing link. You have to go.
Well, that's what happened.
The premise of this movie is.
That's what happened with vampires when, you know, that's what Twilight is. You know, he's a vampire, but he loves this girl.
Yeah, I don't think you can avoid the evolution of the zombie.
So the same thing that happened to vampires is going to happen to zombies. But how can you be an attractive zombie?
Because you've got a good heart.
So this is going to finally help us go past the superficial skin deep.
Well, I wouldn't, don't go crazy. I don't think the whole culture is going to be enlightened because zombies have personalities that other people can withstand. Or
I'm always looking for the way out. I'm always looking for the,
Well, I agree. I think we are, like I said at the beginning, a progressively upward spiral. So there are small increments that move our society forward to becoming more enlightened.
Yeah.
And maybe the enlightenment of the zombie will be one of those stepping stones. Where actually the zombie is the hero. And the bad guy is, the living person trying to shoot his head off.
Right. I mean, that has happened in many vampire movies, so maybe that will be the evolution of the zombie genre.
Cowboys and Indians.
Well, you said it here on Cult Studs, and we have it recorded for now. 10 years later, we'll see whether that happened.
That's right. We can refer back to our prognostications.